Remember the day before I left? You insisted that, you strongly suggested, which was actually insisted, that the dance floor be taken up and put away. And I just absolutely didn't want to do it. And I knew you were right. I just didn't want to do it, and you knew I didn't want to do it. And I went ahead and did it. And after it was done, I was glad that it was done. But I didn't want to do it just because I didn't want to do it. It was just plain out and out.
Yeah.
And I really resented, not resented, but I really disliked you saying, do it. But I went ahead and did it anyway.
I think what we're seeing and what I'm responding to in several things here is, and it's the essence of what leprosy is about, and really the essence of what Pentecost is about. Because the idea of Pentecost, one of the Psalms, says, my people are willing in the day of my power. Or in the other tense, it was, his people were willing in the day of his power. The idea of being willing, willing to what? I mean, rebellion isn't for you to tell me you don't want to pick up the dance floor. Rebellion is when you act like you want to pick up the dance floor and don't, because then you're not presenting what's there. I mean, we still, in this group, tend, unless it's preached at constantly, we have a Gentile view of rebellion. Rebellion isn't. Rebellion is the fact that you know that you have been purchased and bought with a price and you present what's there without apology. Rebellion is to not say it because of you're afraid of the faces of men or my face. You understand me?
Yeah.
But you slip. I've heard it 3 times tonight. You were rebellious because something said, no, you're rebellious because you didn't say it. You kept it inward. I mean, the spiritual meaning of submission, being submitted one to another, submission simply means you present what's there. Rebellion is not to present what's there. And this is dangerous. It's dangerous as hell. Because that's what we're going to do on Pentecost. I'm going to lay hands on the body and the spirit and loose the tongue of the body. Now when that tongue is loosed, what comes out of your mouth won't look like what you think it should. Now, last night we studied this thing, or we didn't study, we were talking about something else, but it came up, that the workman maketh an image, and then those that are impoverished make a wooden image. I mean, the ones that can afford it make the gold one. The ones that can't afford it make the wooden image. Well, it's a long, complicated story, but those of you that can't afford it, the wooden image you make is you just sort of sneak it out there a little bit. So if I lop on it and whap it off, it's not going to cost you too much.
Yeah.
Don't you see that? Let's go to James. James chapter 3. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things, etc., etc. from a spiritual standpoint, you're the horse, and the god of this world has bridled your tongue. And there's a demon riding on your backs, just as you are the beast, the horse, and the tongue is bridled by that beast to follow the direction that the god of this world would take you. And religion teaches that. Religion is the discipline to bridle the tongue, to bridle the mouth, so that you are moved about at the will of the god of this world, so that you are moved about at the will of this spiritual power that's controlling you. You understand? Now what happens? Have any of you ridden horseback very often? You remember what happens?
Angie's in the back row.
You remember what happens? She's all right. Let Angie study. No, she's all right. Let her run around. You remember what happens? I don't care how well a horse is trained, except if they're superbly trained. If you take the bridle out of the horse's mouth and try to ride it, what happens? You get bucked off. Well, this Feast of Pentecost, we're going to take the bridle out of your mouth, that the tongue might be loosed, to be without apology the language of God. No more thinking about what you're going to say. Presenting what's there openly. You have a little sense of this? Aren't you tired of having this bridle in your mouth and this demon on your back guiding you and taking you wherever he wills by the wind? The other imagery is the wind and wave of doctrine, the helm of the ship. You are great ships on the sea, riding on the sea. You're not to be subject to that stupid helmsman any longer. You're not to be carried about by every wind and wave of doctrine and the sleight of men where they lie in wait to deceive. You are guided by one thing and one thing only, and that's the Holy Spirit. And he blows where he wants to blow without regard to what it looks like. Without regard to what somebody's response to you is going to be. You know, the timidity and temerity of some of you is getting just totally nauseous. You walk around on tiptoes to the rules and laws, hoping you're going to get it right. Always concerned about whether or not you're going to offend somebody. Now let's loose the tongue. You're guided by one thing and one thing only. That's the Spirit of God. Well, how does that happen? Only when the tongue is loose. You understand a little bit?
Yeah.
Let me say this. There's no merit in loosening the tongue. It doesn't make anything. The only merit is that in the loosening of the tongue, it causes the veil of flesh to be seen.
Yeah.
The only merit's the cross. I am determined to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. I glory in nothing but the cross by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world. The only way that it's manifest that you know that is by the tongue.
What could possibly be so bad that it keeps us in it? It's just about, the possible consequences. And
it's the opposite of everything you have ever learned.
You don't even consciously. It's the Satan's half second.
Amen.
Yeah.
And it's getting, there may not even be anything there to say because it's happened so fast. You blocked it before you could even formulate anything to say.
You
instantly.
Right.
So that's what got
you instantly go like this and put up a wall to react to something, and there's no words there.
So the other night she was, I was going to say sitting there, we were lying down in bed talking. It was like she was pulling teeth to get me to say what was going on. She was doing that. It was like a. She was doing a priestly service for me by identifying these things, but it was like, and even my conscious mind was going, consciously, I did not want to do this, I want to be open, I don't want to be in this place, it's a stupid place to be, not being able to get at what it is, and it took this, exchange over a period of an hour or so to get down to, that's what it is. It's going on. It was just—it's hard to formulate those words. Yes, I am rebellious. Because it was, it's just sick. I was seeing all the things you're talking about. Just covering up. All the times through the years we talked about covering up. Now it comes down to this one member, which is the tongue, which is really the central point of all the, covering. Because we talk about covering and. General way.
And doing things, and now we see that it's speak
weird.
It and then the works follow you.
Because to think about it just as, one thing happening, which is your tongue wagging, and then, the Holy Spirit moving through with breath, that's kind of different. You can do that.
You've been bought with a price, and you cannot let anything bridle you. Now the bridle, the bondage, the prison that you've been in is the prison that you have constructed. You have willingly partook of the construction to build the, and its manifestation is in your, this, and you don't even know you're in prison. That's the sadness. You don't even know. You're so much under the bridle of this demon on your back that you don't even know that you're in bondage. God desires that you would commend yourself openly to every man's conscience in the sight of God. The only way you can commend yourself openly is by the use of the tongue. It doesn't matter, because what's going to come out is not going to be pretty by the world standards. You have an image of what you think it should be when it comes out of you. It's the same, and that image has to do with the definition of God stuff in your mind. And so for some of you, you forget that he has no form nor comeliness. When you see him, there's no beauty that you should desire him. You forget that if you're in that office, that you'll be the offscoring of all men. That you'll be a spectacle. The only way you'll have the guts to do that is to know the terror of God. If you don't know the terror of God, everything I'm saying to you tonight will be absolutely meaningless. Because it's totally against all conventions of behavior. You have been taught from your birth by all of those around you and by the God of this world to bridle your tongue. And now some idiot comes along and says to you that that's the evidence of your bondage. That's the evidence of your unbelief. That's the evidence of your reprobateness. And it flies in the face of everything you have ever heard, everything you've ever internalized, and everything you've ever believed. Because all you do is bridle your tongue. Now, some of you that are beginning to teach, you know you can't bridle your tongue, otherwise it just gets total and completely boring. You get bored, the people get bored, because you try to get it right. There's nothing more boring to anyone than someone that's trying to get it right. Communicating a little bit.
Yeah, my head just went up with the trick again. Yeah.
What?
This is a trick.
It's not a trick.
Yes, it is. You just got caught in another trap. Can you hear the words?
The evidence, if you could see yourselves in the spirit, when you go through this process of consideration and what's this going to sound like. The only way I can relate to it is when I was a little kid, the guy, David Schmidt, up the street, we got in fights all the time, and I'd beat him up every once in a while, he'd beat me up. Every time he beat me up, I played that fight over in my mind. Over and over and over. So that in my mind, I beat the shit out of him because I did. Well, that's exactly what you're doing when you consider your words. You sit around and think and consider. And what it is, in the spirit, it's you've made the path look like. God says, behold, I make the crooked places straight. There is none of this bullshit, this mental gymnastics that goes on when you consider, because you've got to understand this. The reason you do this is because of your fear of men. Where'd she get all the pens? Thank you. Angie, I'm going to kill you if you get everything. I mean, do you understand? I mean, this sounds stupid. Go to Isaiah 4. I mean, you got to know that something else is, that something pretty deep has got to be going on here. Nothing else can proceed with we as a body until your tongue is loosed. We've reached the point as far as we can go.
Every time before you said the thing about being off-scouring and being made spectacles, it's always been an esoteric kind of a concept sometime in the future, but for the first time.
Would you go put some stuff on?
Some stuff on?
Did you have something on there?
I thought she looked fine.
Can we watch?
I didn't talk when talking to you. Isaiah 40.
What
said Isaiah 4? Fine. It was just for the first time it's real. I can see how it's going to happen. You walk around saying, just what's there?
Oh.
You take it in the air.
Yeah. This is big enough. basically to me because I'm one of the...
Oh, nobody knew that, Pete. You're kidding.
Anyway.
Verse 3.
Speaking of me, too.
The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. By the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. Don't you understand, family, that the promise of God, the meaning of the gospel, is that your government is now on His shoulders, not on yours? The evidence the government's on His shoulders is your abandonment of self. No more taking consideration for it. Otherwise, the Antichrist, as the instead of Christ, is still in the government. The government is now on His shoulders from now and forevermore. Amen? We cannot proceed any farther until you see this. We cannot, as stealth, we have gone as far as we can go unless your tongue is loosed and the recognition that the government is totally on His shoulders. We have proceeded along this... That's the wrong map. We've proceeded along the map that's underneath it as far as we can. And you know where we are? We're locked at Jericho. The walled city.
Inside or outside?
I know it sounded like a silly question.
Here's we're waiting for the long
call. Seed is on the outside, you're on the inside, and only the whore is going to be saved.
Gary, that's good news. That's good news. You and Rick got a date.
The rest of us are...
You and I will be cleaning up.
The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. Thou hast multiplied the nation and not increased the joy. The joy before thee according to the joy in the harvest, and as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. For thou hast broken the yoke of his burden and his staff of his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, and as in the day of Midian. For every battle of the warriors with confused noise, and garments rolled in blood. But this shall be with burning and fuel of fire. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it, and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Unto us, on this day of Pentecost, a child is born, a son is given, a new nation is created in one day, a new people, and the government is on his shoulders. Amen?
Yeah.
Isaiah 49. Listen a while unto me. You understand, we've talked about what aisles are, right?
Island.
Huh?
Island.
My Bible says coasts.
Listen a while, then to me.
Yeah, but it's a neat picture because the waters of judgment, and we're the ships on the sea as we're above it, or we're the islands that we think we're separate, but we're eternally connected below the judgment. You understand? All right.
And hearken, ye people from afar, the Lord hath called me from the womb. From the bowels of my mother hath he made mention of my name. Now that's you from now on, because of Pentecost. You understand? Now you will have been with him from the very beginning. You're no more separate entity. He hath made my mouth like a sharp sword. Two-edged sword is what it said. In the shadow of his hand hath he hid me and made me a polished shaft. In his quiver hath he hid me. Now, we've been hidden away. And said unto me, Thou art my servant, O Israel, in whom I will be glorified. Now we are Israel. And just as we offer the first fruits unto God, Israel is the first is God's first fruit. And he said unto me, Thou art my servant, O Israel, in whom I will be glorified. And we've talked so many times. The only time glorified is ever used is with regard to the transfiguration. Then I said, I have labored in vain, I have spent my strength for naught and in vain. Yet surely my judgment is with the Lord, and my work with my God. And now saith the Lord that formed me from the womb to be a servant, to bring Jacob again to him, though Israel be not gathered, yet shall I be glorious in the eyes of the Lord, and my God shall be my strength. And he said, It is a light thing that thou shouldest be my servant, to rise up the tribes of Jacob, and to restore the preserved of Israel. I will also give thee for a light to the Gentiles, that thou mayest be my salvation unto the end of the earth. Thus saith the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel and his Holy One, to whom man despiseth, to whom the nations abhor, or nation abhor. I mean, you got to get that in your mind. Your identity from the day of Pentecost onward can be nothing other than that seed of Christ, whom the nations abhor, whom man despises. To a servant of rulers, kings shall see and arise, princes also shall worship, because of the Lord that is faithful and the Holy One of Israel, and he shall choose thee. Thus saith the Lord, in an acceptable time I have heard thee, and in a day of salvation have I helped thee. In a day, a singular day of salvation, which is the acceptable or appointed time. Now in history, that was the day of Pentecost. There's only been one day of salvation. Pentecost. Now, you'll see in the four spiritual law booklets, you know, all this little stuff about, well, every day is Pentecost. Because, as we see, the feast finally merged until there's only one day. In the day of salvation have I helped thee, and I will preserve thee, and give thee for a covenant to the people to establish the earth, to cause to inherit the desolate heritages, that thou mayest sayest to the prisoners, Go forth, to them that are in darkness, show yourselves. They shall feed in the ways, and their pastures shall be in all high places. Now, that which Satan has meant for evil, God has turned to good. You're going to grow wheat in the high places.
the places where there's been all those ancestor worship, where you've gone up to worship the ancestors, well, that now it's kind of good fertilized ground to grow the wheat, to grow that which you're going to pour out among the people. They shall not hunger nor thirst, neither shall the heat nor sun smite them. For he that hath mercy on them shall lead them, even by the springs of water shall he guide them. And I will make all my mountains a way, and my highway shall be exalted. Behold, these shall come from far, and lo, these from the north, and from the west, and those from the land of Sinim. Sing, O heavens, and be joyful, O earth, and break forth into singing, O mountains. For the Lord hath comforted his people, and he will have mercy upon his afflicted. But Zion said, the Lord hath forsaken me, and my Lord hath forgotten me. No, none of you would say that. Every single time you get depressed, every single time you are in a position other than certain knowledge, what you are saying in the Spirit to the Father of lights is, you have forsaken me. Can a woman forget her suckling child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, yet will I not forget thee. That means that when you are in the midst of something whereby everything in you defines that you believe the Lord has forsaken you and you are without hope, it means in that split second you can see, no, that's a lie. This is simply the chastisement of the Lord. It's from directly from the hand of God, and I rest in it. Now, behold, I have graven thee upon the palm of my hand. Thy walls are continually before me. God cannot forget you. God can't do anything but see you. You can leave him. All right.
This is where Jesus didn't sin. He never forgot this, so to speak. He, in the deepest of his temptations, this was his confession, so to speak.
Except he said at that moment on the cross, "Oh my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" And the reason he said that is so that you could be in the position that even when you think he's forsaken you, he too was at that place. So that there's no testing that can overtake you that isn't common. And there's no thing that can overtake you that he hasn't experienced. Thy children shall make haste, thy destroyers and they that make thee waste shall go forth of thee. And what it says, it's as though they will divorce you. Have you experienced that? People that once were real enemies. All of a sudden you wake up one morning and you find it's as though they're divorced. That they've divorced. You haven't done anything.
Yeah.
Anyway. Last place I watched. Lift up thine eyes round about and behold, all these gather themselves together and come to thee. As I live, saith the Lord, thou shalt surely clothe thee with them all, as with an ornament, and bind them on thee, as a bride doeth. For thy waste and thy desolate places in the land of thy destruction shall even now be too narrow by reason of the inhabitants. And they that swallowed thee up shall be far away. The children which thou shalt have after thou hast lost the other shall say again in thine ears, the place is too strait for me. Give place to me that I may dwell. Then shalt thou say in thine heart, who hath begotten me these, seeing I have lost my children? And am desolate, a captive, and removing to and fro. And who hath brought up these? Behold, I was left alone. These, where had they been? Thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will lift up mine hand to the Gentiles and set up my standard to the people, and they shall bring thy sons in their arms, and thy daughters shall be carried upon their shoulders. That means that, you know, I don't know, it's sometimes hard to relate, but there are, you know, all those times when you think you're alone. All of a sudden, you're going to wake up one morning, and the Gentiles and everything else is carrying your brethren to you. All right. And kings shall be thy nursing fathers, and queens thy nursing mother. They shall bow down to thee with their face toward the earth, and lick the dust of thy feet. And thou shalt know that I am the Lord, for they shall not be ashamed that wait for me. Shall the prey be taken from the mighty, or the lawful captive delivered? But thus saith the Lord, even the captives of the mighty shall be taken away, and the prey of the terrible shall be delivered. For I will contend with him that contendeth with thee, and I will save thy children. And I will feed them that oppress thee with their own flesh, and they shall be drunken with their own blood, as with sweet wine. And all flesh shall know that I, the Lord, and the Savior, and thy Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob. I will feed them that oppress thee with their own flesh. Interesting imagery. Anyway, that's enough.
An effluent of self.
Self. Blood and wine. The blood of sweet self. It's their own flesh and the effluent, and their own sweet, their own blood, which is a sweet wine for the effluent. And that's what it means to drink the blood and the body unworthily. Because you take thought for self. You're eating your own flesh.
Did we read this last year?
No.
This is something else.
But it was, I mean, it was an assigned reading. We just didn't read it. I don't feel like talking anymore. Please begin to think or think on Selah, this thing about that the essence of this Pentecost is the tongue. And the loosening of your tongue is the goal of the tongue of the body, that we might know that we are the language of God. We are beginning to speak in a new language. And you don't have to worry about getting it right. If you try to get it right, you'll be boring. You know what I think of? You know, I'm not too fond of boring.
But now we don't care.
We shall see.
It's a man loses your shirt. What's he doing?
Yeah. But isn't it a lot more fun? You don't have to worry about it.
Oh no, I'm thinking of.
Anybody have anything else?
I love that thing you said. Isn't it nicer when you don't have to worry about it? Where did the not have to worry about it come from?
What?
You said, oh, isn't this wonderful? It's going to be nice now. You just say what's there and you don't have to worry about it. Well, that's bullshit.
Well,
that's bullshit.
It's not bullshit.
Sure. Okay, we'll see.
Just because I'm going to jump on your ass,
right,
that doesn't mean you have to worry about it.
Well, okay,
I think you
fine.
Should let up on jumping on our ass for a while, just so we can
roll.
Yeah,
we
should
roll. Yeah,
we
should have like
start
a door.
Back in on jumping on our ass.
How about
is there
some
kind of new regime going on that I need to know about?
Yeah, you got to say what's there.
You better say
it. You can't cover it.
You know. It's honest. It's that old honesty thing.
It's that old prophecy stuff. So how about a 6-month moratorium?
Once again, honesty
rules.
That's ugly.
Okay, he's going to take the, can you put these in the...
Oh, he needs a drone.
Take it, big guy.
He's
Oh, I can't say Moroccan.